So we go to the Word of God. I'd like to read a passage here that has to do with mission. I'm glad that I find my sermons after the remodeling that's gone on up here. From Luke 5. I'm a great believer in meditating on the scriptures and thinking about it and asking questions and trying to learn more things in that way. I believe when we really meditate on the scriptures, we will find a lot of things. And I found things that I found in no commentary, absolutely no commentary. Not in this passage maybe, but in other passages. And I've shared them with other people and they say that really sounds very good. I've never heard anything such an interpretation and such a good interpretation on this particular passage. Well, this is another passage I'd like to read to you. We had that this morning about Jesus calling his disciples, and this is the calling of Peter. There's a lot in this passage that is really worth thinking deeply about. Luke 5, from the beginning. While the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish. And as the nets were breaking, they beckoned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, henceforth you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. It's interesting in this passage that it's only the frame. We hear nothing about what Jesus was teaching, but I assume that we have that in some other place. And we see how well Jesus used the time. In this incident, what happened, he's teaching us a lot. We know that Peter had been fishing all night and he was very tired. And tired and hungry, disappointed and discouraged, probably. And he was at the bottom. When you've tried hard, you've done your best, and nothing comes out of it, of course, you feel discouraged. And at this particular point, exactly at this point, Jesus comes up to him. And he says, "I need something from you. You have something that I really need to do my work, your boat." And that meant, of course, that that Peter would have to stay there, and he couldn't go home, and that would be hard for him. And he probably also knew that it would be a long sermon. In Russia, they have very long sermons. Here you are not so used to that, and in that way we lose a lot, I think. Anyway, it's interesting. We have something that Jesus can need, and he asks us, and maybe we don't notice that he asks us, and that we really have something that is important for the kingdom of God, that can be used. God could, of course, do everything himself. but he has chosen this way to use human beings to do his work. And he is looking for people who are willing. And this day for Peter was a very momentous day. Everything depended on his reaction to Jesus' question. He had every right in the world to say no. He had every right to give an excuse and say, I am a human being also. I also need rest. You know that I'm always prepared to help people, but at this very point, it is very inconvenient. And I believe that God tests us in that way, that he comes to us at points when it's inconvenient, when it's hard for us, when we want to stay in the comfort zone. I think that is a rule, that is sort of a principle in Christian life. And we have to be very attentive that maybe God wants us to do something and we are tired and we are lazy and we don't want to. Obedience is never selective. We will never get to the point where God wants to have us if we are selectively obedient. If one day we are obedient, the next day we are not. When we are not in the spirit, when we don't feel well, we are not obedient. We'll never get anywhere in our Christian life. I think that's very important. That really is a rule. And obedience is a sacrifice, and sacrifice always costs something. David said, shall I sacrifice to the Lord something that hasn't cost me anything? And I think that's very important. So this is where we are. And Peter, he probably had heard something about Jesus. And he knew enough to know that it would be important to be obedient, to listen to what Jesus says and do what he says. And obedience always has a price. If we start looking at our lives and looking at the way God is dealing with us, we will find that this is the case, that obedience has a price. It also takes courage. Then Jesus had been praying, and everyone who has heard a sermon from Jesus has been affected. Something has happened. Something has happened inside, and he has been changed in some way. For us, the same, if we really are prepared to let the words of Jesus get into our heart, if we are prepared to think about them, and think about them deeply, because the words of Jesus are very deep. He puts questions sometimes, and they are no real questions. When he asks, when he says to someone who's been sick for 38 years in John 5, do you want to be healed? That is a question that is very deep, and we need to think about that. What is he saying by that? That is worth a whole sermon just to think about that, and because he's saying a lot. And also when he says, blind people come to Jesus, and he says, what do you want? It's very clear what they want, absolutely clear. But they need to say it themselves. He put this question, and you know, we must ask ourselves, why does he give these questions? And why does he say to this man that was brought, he was paralyzed, and said, your sins are forgiven, and that's not what he wanted. He wanted something else. He wanted to be healed. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Why did he say that? You know, when we begin to think about the scripture in this way, then it gets much more interesting. He was saying to him, you have another sickness which is much worse than that you are paralyzed, your sins. So then Peter has listened to this sermon, and then Jesus said to him, put out your nets into the deep and let them down for a catch. You know, that was much harder. I see time is going. That was much harder because it was not a reasonable command, because now it would be midday and you don't fish around midday. Peter had been fishing all night. He knew it. No point in trying to fish, and he would make himself a fool before people. He was a professional. He knew how to fish. He knew that you don't put out your nets into the deep. And still he says to Jesus that, yes, on your word I will do it. And I think sometimes, you know, God shows us his humor by giving us commands, by giving us, by telling us to do something that seems unreasonable. I've seen that in my work among the Circassians. Things that solution to a problem may seem to be not reasonable. I needed a language helper and could not find one. That was back in Germany. And there was this man who had only had 2 years of schooling. And it seemed to me that he would be that God was saying to me, this is the man you should work with. And it turned out he was the right one. No sane human being would start working on translation with someone who had only so little schooling. But he was very good. He was excellent. He had a very good mind. And he knew the language very well. So maybe this seems strange to you, but I've seen that is often a rule. That God, he wants to surprise us. He almost wants to shock us. And so this is the way I work. I work in unusual ways. And we cannot predict the way he's going to work. And when we do what he says, when we do exactly what he says, then we see that what God can do. Of course, this has to do with trial and error. But if we really read the scriptures, if we look at the Greek where it says about we have to test the will of God and try to know the will of God. It says, try it and get convinced. Try it and prove that it is the will of God. We look through the various passages where it speak about the finding out about the will of God. That is very interesting. I jump here a little. And then Peter, caught a lot of fish. And his reaction is interesting, that he said, go away from me, I'm a sinful human being. When he saw this miracle, he started to understand something about the greatness of God, that Jesus was no ordinary human being, that he really is the Son of God. I've spoken to so many Muslims about Jesus as the Son of God. And now, recently in New Jersey also, I was standing in a shop. I was speaking to a very ardent Muslim, strong Muslim, for over an hour. I was speaking about was Jesus, how he proved that he was the Son of God. How he proved it by forgiving sins, and how he proved it by having the right to judge people and to give eternal life to people and to raise people from the dead. It's hard to speak to Muslims, but the word that is said and read to them anyway stays, and it does some work. And then Jesus said to him, do not be afraid, because from now on, you will continue as a fisherman, but you will fish human beings, the hearts of human beings. So he gave him a command, the direction of his future. No details, but this is what you will be working on, that you will be showing people my way, my roads, that people can find that. And Peter, of course, he could have put a lot of questions, but he didn't need to do that. He didn't need to say, how can I do that? I don't know how to do this. Because he knew, I need to be obedient. If I am obedient, then it will be successful. And any work we do for God, you know, we can try as hard as we like, we can be as clever as we like, only when we are in obedience, and where we have left the road of selective obedience, and we start to be obedient all the time. We make our mistakes, of course, but if we come back and say, I really want to be obedient, I've really made this decision, I've really made a commitment that I'm going to be obedient. And the question is about the decision we make before the decision, that we have said, this is now the way I'm going to live, this is my way of life, I'm going to avoid sin, and I'm going to be obedient. We will not always be able to do it, but God will teach us and he will lead us. And also through our mistakes, we will learn a lot of things. This very first step he did, that he gave the boat to Jesus. It may seem very insignificant, and it was insignificant. But the second step was much harder, because then he could possibly be ridiculed by people, because he started to fish in a very unorthodox manner. And he was willing to be a fool for Christ. And he was willing to take this risk. And there's always a risk involved. There's always a risk involved when we're trying to follow Jesus. And we need to take that risk and see where it will lead us. And see what happens to our life, that God is going to lead us step by step. And he will, our life will change as a result. Just imagine if Peter had not been so courageous. All what he had lost. He would have lost his life and all the things that he experienced with Jesus. All the miracles he saw. All that he learned and all this work he got. And all that he would have missed. And when we think of our lives also, the things that we could possibly miss if we are not obedient, if we not follow Jesus. You know, when we're young, we think we will lose a lot in this life. We will lose a lot of fun. But later on, when we get a little older, we know that true satisfaction is something else. Really deep satisfaction is when you really are obedient, when the hindrances in our character are slowly removed, when God is doing a very deep work in us, when he is remodeling us from inside, and we let him do that. And we read in the scriptures, and we meditate, and we find out the principles that are there. So I see it's so important that we read the scriptures and meditate on them. Now in New Jersey, I stayed with a man who, 20 years ago I was there, he was a believer. He's still a believer, but he's been led astray. He's been led astray. He's been led astray by a famous radio speaker here in America. He has swallowed all that he's saying. And he's saying, you should not go to church. He's saying these things. And this man was not firmly grounded in the scriptures. And because of that, he could not withstand. He could not stand against it. And we really need to really know the scriptures so that we can very, very quickly spot wrong teaching, that we know this is not according to the Bible. This must be wrong. When we know that someone is predicting the end of the world and it doesn't happen, that we, after that, we don't need to listen to his teaching anymore because he's a false prophet, the scripture says so. So Peter's life was really changed. It was changed very radically. And he learned about Jesus. By being obedient, we get to learn Jesus much more, the way he thinks, and the way he deals with us. When he deals with us individually, he will with everyone a little differently, depending on our character, that he knows us so well, and he knows what we need and what correction we need, and he's steadily working on correcting us. If we are willing to say, I'm willing for that, I'm prepared to be changed, I'm preparing also for God to be working deeply in me, and also if it leads to brokenness, I'm willing to have that, because I've tasted that God is good. When we've tasted that and we really have a hunger for the word, and we find deep satisfaction when we're reading, and that we find that the Bible changes the moods we are in. You know, we can be very sad, and we read the admonitions of Paul, because they are also positive. He's not running us down. He's really lifting us up, you know. And what Jesus said, and the way he is working with people, how very he shows he really cares about people. He's really loving. And he is not destroying anybody. And by obedience, we also learn a lot more about God. There is one verse there, or two verses I like to read to you. There are verses that are so short that we just don't notice them even. And they contain such important information. John 14, 21 and 23. Where Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." That God will manifest himself to us. He will show things about himself. He will show things about us also, things that we need to know. But we live in such a hectic age, we don't have time for the most important. But Jesus said, the one thing necessary, he said to Mary and Martha, one thing is necessary. And I believe in our age, we don't have time for the one thing that is really necessary. We don't have time to pray, we don't have time to read, and we don't have time for God to put an indelible mark on our life and our hearts, that we will really be changed. If we don't read the scriptures, if we don't meditate, and if we don't pray a lot, we're not going to grow as believers. That is as simple as that. And then he says, if a man loves me, verse 23, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The indwelling of Jesus, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that is with us all the time, that he is living his life through us and in us, that we are the hands and the feet of God, and that he can send us to the places where he likes us to be. And that we are really listening, we are really attentive, and we are learning, and we are being changed, and we allow God to deal with us, to deal with our thinking, to deal with our sins, and to deal with our everyday life. Amen. I think I pray with us. Oh, Jesus, I thank you so much for your word that really touches our heart, that really can revive us and to make us other, we become different human beings, that we really begin to see the purpose that you have for our life, that we are not an accident, that you have chosen us and you have predestined us to be your children. And you want us to really know you. And we thank you for this privilege of being your children, and that in that way we can have the best possible life, that anything else is really not worth it. And we thank you that you have this wonderful plan for us, and help us that each one of us will be able to find more and more of your plan, and to learn more and more of who you are and what you are doing in this world, what you are doing in your church, and what you are doing with us as individuals. Amen.